Multi-Grammy award-winning violinist Hilary Hahn is on the road with pianist Robert Levin. Their tour stops in Atlanta this weekend at Spivey Hall. The two are performing a program of music by Bach, Mozart, and Beethoven, along with contemporary works written specifically for them. Hilary Hahn spoke with us by phone last month while backstage at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. She talked about the tour and some of the music on Sunday's Spivey program. Hilary, it is always fantastic to talk with you in this time in advance of your appearance at Spivey Hall here in the Atlanta area. You will be performing with the pianist Robert Levin, who is an impressive scholar as well as concert artist. When Yes. did you and Robert Levin decide to collaborate?
This is the first season collaborating together. We were actually connected by a friend who's a violinist who has worked with him frequently. And then we did a little project together and decided to go ahead and try our hand at recitals.
Well, the two of you have, you know, these power intellects to match in addition to your artistry. I've been reading some of the reviews that you've taken this program on tour. What was it, starting last fall?
Yes, we actually did two. We programmed our tour so that it would have two parts so that we would be able to go to more places. So we did a small tour in the fall, and this spring, this tour is both Europe and the States.
In Atlanta, three pieces on the program are written for violin and keyboard, and the other two are solos, one violin, one piano, and each of those was written specifically for you and Robert Levin. What is the origin of the piece Antón García Abril wrote for you, Hilary?
Well, I worked with Anton on an encore for my encores project when I commissioned 26 composers to write contemporary encores. And I really noticed in the course of playing his piece that he actually wrote me three pieces instead of one, so he said to just pick one of them. And he was so generous and so varied with his writing that I noticed that his sense of polyphony was very strong. Polyphony, of course, is multiple voices at the same time, so it sounds like two or more violins playing simultaneously. And I was thinking about how that's such a traditional technique, but Bach did it to such a developed extent that a lot of people didn't really dare to feature it as much after Bach. So I was really wondering what polyphony, a real effort at polyphony in solo violin writing today would look like and sound like. So when I noticed that Anton naturally had that tendency, I decided to commission him to write six sonatas or partitas or both for solo violin. And this piece that I'm playing is part of that set. So I've been premiering it over the past year. And it's wonderful to be able to bring it forward in all of these concerts that we're doing on our tour.
The Spivey Hall program also includes Beethoven's sonata in A for violin and piano, known as the Kreutzer Sonata. Initially, Beethoven dedicated the piece to the biracial violinist George Bridgetower, an extraordinary virtuoso Beethoven admired and befriended. But they had an argument over a woman, and Beethoven severed ties, took back the dedication. He was good at doing that. Read the Eroica. And he renamed it after another violinist, Kreutzer. Rita Dove wrote a collection of poems about Bridgetower called Sonata Mulattica. Are you familiar with it?
I am not. Do you like it?
Oh, it's breathtaking.
Well, it sounds like we have a mini book club to form. We all need to read this before the concert and show up having this background in mind. I grew up with a lot of historic recordings because my teacher, Clara Berkovich, who I studied with until I was 10, and my teacher, Yasha Brodsky, who I studied with from then on, they both really revered the past. And Mr. Brodsky, in fact, was born in 1907. So he was friends with a lot of the people that I listened to on recordings, and that made it very real and very current for me, even though I'd never get the chance to hear those violinists live. Bridgetower, I do not have that experience with. but he's an important historical figure, and I wish we could hear all of these people play. I wish we could hear Beethoven play the piano. I wish we could hear what these things would have sounded like in those days and the different characteristics. But music is famously difficult to describe in words. So we have to use our imaginations and imagine what these people actually would sound like to us if we read between the lines of what they sounded like to other people. So reading someone's poetic description might be a very good jumping off point.
Hilary, you have made efforts to connect with the community in unusual ways. I read that in Vienna, one of your performances included playing for a knitting group. What do you derive from performing in a non-traditional setting?
Well, I do these unusual concerts. The reason I do them is not so much to perform in an unusual setting. It just happens that the settings that the presenters I've worked with for these particular concerts have been outside of the concert hall for logistical reasons. Basically, what I'm aiming to do in these different ideas I have for mini concerts is I play for half an hour, and the thing is that as musicians, we have live music every day we go into work. We know what live music feels like. We know what live music sounds like from very, very close. And it's not an opportunity that a lot of concert goers get. And also, concerts are a very special occasion. And what I've been trying to do is integrate live music the way that you would integrate a recording while you do something that you love to do, but while you need silence and space to be able to enjoy this music that you're listening to. So that can be knitting, it can be drawing, it can be brainstorming with pen and paper, it can be any number of things. There's a sort of creative energy when people are making things and thinking creatively in silence that lends itself very well to performing. And I really enjoy that kind of mutual creative endeavor with the audience simultaneously. I've also been doing concerts where I play for parents of very, very young children, so up to 8 months of age, and caretakers of these children as well. So they have to bring a baby with them, but then they can sit and I play as if I'm in a concert. I play all of these the same way that I play a concert. It's just that the audience can have the experience that they might have if they were at home listening to music at the same time.
Is your baby in the audience when you play these concerts?
She's aged out. She's a year and a half. So she's past that phase, but she gets to hear me practice.
Too old to attend Mama's concert.
I know.
Has motherhood informed your playing?
I think that's very hard to answer because I think everyone goes through a personal evolution every year, and it can be affected by specific things, or it could be that those specific things dovetail with what you were going to naturally develop anyway. I found that in recent years, I've been aiming more and more towards a more straightforward way of experiencing my life. So instead of filtering it a lot, I really try to be present in each moment and figure out, what things mean to me and as directly translate that into my playing as possible. So I think that that's a process that lends itself very well to life transitions, and it's kind of gone hand in hand for me.
Well, being in the moment of your performance is exquisite for all listeners. You have been very generous with your time, and we can't wait to welcome you back to Atlanta. Hillary, thank you.
Thank you. I love playing there. I can't wait.